them I sound tested you basically as you were talking. Other two I have sound tested, so we're good anytime anyone's
whatever you want to go.
All right. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the GoBescue Wallace Report. My name's Charlie Wallace.
Mom, GoBescue.
You suck. You said anytime.
Well, I'm fine with this.
Now
I'm
continue.
Eating dinner. Anyway, please welcome our two glitterati guests. We have Kevin Vredevogue.
Hello.
And Doug GoBescue.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're here to discuss the 78th installment of the Merry Marvel Movie March, right?
Wait, no, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Oh, what are we doing then?
Well, I was so upset with you eating food immediately as we started that I think Doug and I should eat some food.
I mean, I can go grab some if you want. I can go grab the pitiful pork.
The pitiful pork? Oh, no. I was talking about an edition of Chippin' with Charlie, but if you want to eat some pork... I'm not going to stop you. This is a free for all us episode. You can eat whatever you want to, Kevin.
Thank you.
Can I drink?
Yep.
This is the foodie man. Episode.
What's that, the definition of foodie?
Time for some mango orange soda.
What brand?
Sunkissed.
Oh.
I've had it before, though. It's pretty good, although it is like pure sugar and contains no juice.
That's less juice than Mountain Dew.
Let me check, see if there's hidden juice in it.
I guess I need to ask Kara, but are they required to say that it does not contain juice because it appears to contain juice based on advertising or naming?
It does not contain juice. So fun fact, back probably like, I don't know, 12 years ago or so, I bought some Mellow Yellow and it said contains no juice. And like the second ingredient was... concentrated orange juice. And so I called up the questions and comments line and was like, what's going on here? How can it contain juice in the ingredients but contain no juice? And she said something like, oh, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it doesn't really make sense, but it's what they're required to label it as because there's not much juice in it. Okay. So then the next time I was in the store Mellow Yellow.
Hold up. You actually called the hotline?
Yeah, the questions and comments line.
Wow, I wonder, do people call that line or were you like the first person in forever?
I don't know.
Should have asked.
The lady I spoke to was very pleasant, though.
Yeah, you're the first person she talked to all day.
And
she wasn't complaining about something.
And since then, Mellow Yellow says contains less than 1% juice. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the reason why it says that, but I'm also not saying that. Like, one heck of a coincidence, right? If it is indeed a coincidence.
They were just waiting for one person to ask.
Yeah, be like, oh, whoa, he's right. That doesn't make sense. We got to fix this.
Probably protecting themselves from the inevitable class action lawsuit of people who are upset that they had to drink slightly more than 0% juice.
I had scurvy and now it's gone. I wanted scurvy.
Look at all these teeth in my mouth. This is disgusting. They're not even loose.
But for this segment of Chipping with Charlie, Doug initially had found some Doritos late night sizzling cheeseburger chips. And I said, if I found some, I would get them too. And I did. It was at the grocery store. It was in one of those cardboard display stands. It was hiding in the very back and I could kind of see it behind the end cap on the side of the aisle. So I think I got the last one.
Corrections to the podcast. This isn't a you got it too. This is a you got it. I was very clear that I was not buying it.
What? Well, that's Charlie not reading his texts. I saw the picture. That's what I did.
I saw the picture. The caption reads, but I didn't buy it because I don't expect it to be edible. But I do think Charlie should buy it.
Well, now...
Once again, Charlie has been trapped.
Well,
sorry, Charlie.
We'll say, I'm disappointed right off the bat because I don't hear any sounds emanating from the bag.
Oh, you got to make the sizzle yourself, buddy.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, as you pour them out, that's the sizzle you hear. As they pass the plastic bag.
Upon first whiff here, I expect Doug to be correct.
Inedible.
There is a distinct pickle smell, dill coming from it. Yeah. So, I mean, cheeseburgers don't have to have that on it, but because we've done on the podcast, we've done the ketchup and the mustard, and I remember tasting those together, and they were delicious, but all right, let's go. Here's what I'll say. They did an excellent job of making that taste like a cheeseburger with pickles on it.
What won't you say?
I won't say that I enjoyed it. I won't say that I'm going to eat any more.
Do you have a whole bag?
I do. I will see if Kara wants some. Maybe my children? I don't know. I'll submit others to it, but... Now, pickles are the one thing that'll ruin just about any food for me. If a pickle even touches a hamburger, it makes it virtually inedible for me. So
I can understand that. It's a very strong flavor. I don't generally go for it on cheeseburgers myself.
Kudos to them for actually making it taste almost exactly like that, though. Even a little bit
like a pickle
meaty
on a cheeseburger. I will.
Even the beef?
Even a little bit of the, well, I don't know. It kind of tastes like a McDonald's hamburger, which often has like lots of ketchup and mustard slathered over it, but it tastes like that. Yes, and pickles.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. So I would not try again. Would not try even one chip again.
Sorry, Charlie. Like I said, I assumed it would be inedible.
You caught me. I don't read every text.
You read any texts.
You need to send everything in picture form. If there's a picture of something, I see it clearly. The words, not so much.
I was going to complain to you about not sending me your Cinematrix, but I see you did, and I just forgot about it.
Yep.
Cinematrix?
Yeah. Vulture has a new game, which Adam pointed out is based on, I guess, a pre-existing game called, what, Movie Grid?
Something like that, yep.
Yeah. A 3x3 grid, and each row is usually an actor, and each column is usually some category, and then you have to
not always intersections. Sometimes it's directors.
Yeah, sometimes it is, and you have to enter the correct name of a movie that fits at those intersections, and it can be quite hard, and you get more points depending on how quote unquote I guess obscure the movie is, which is not entirely based on how many other people have chosen it. We can never quite figure it out. It seems well enough designed that Adam and I can compete against each other and not feel like it's completely cheating us. But yeah, we've been having fun going back and forth with that. Again, sending pictures of our scores.
Yeah, I'm sure no one else but me cares, but Tradle recently updated their data to 2022 numbers.
Oh, I have no idea what Tradle is.
They show you a country's exports for that year, and you have to guess the country, and if you get it wrong, they give you an arrow and a distance pointing you to the correct country.
Do they give you a map as well, or?
No, that would be cheating.
Well, okay.
You need to actually be good at geography on your own, Kevin.
Yeah.
So kind of so like if you're like, but with exports.
Don't remember playing Worldle.
I got it pulled up right now. It looks like you get six guesses. It's the name is certainly a play on Wordle.
Wait, Worldle or Wordle?
Wordle, like the word word and then.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. It's like Wordle.
Worldle works with you guess the country and then it gives you a distance and a direction.
Yeah, but what's the hint it gives you?
The outline of the country.
Oh, well, okay, I have seen that.
That is actually harder than you would think because you don't get any of the surrounding countries to know where it is. So it's purely based on borders. So sometimes it can be quite tricky.
So like today we've got $1.28 billion and knit t-shirts made up 41.2% of their exports.
It's 6,600 kilometers southwest of Ireland, if that helps.
Oh, I was going to guess like Paraguay.
What? I got this in two, and I felt bad that it took me that much.
Geography isn't my strong suit, per se.
Neither are exports.
Yeah, but, like, where do your t-shirts come from?
Paraguay.
For real?
Sure, why not? Bangladesh?
Bangladesh was my first guess,
yeah,
and it was wrong.
It's
which left only Haiti. which was the correct answer.
I'm getting further away. Got it in three.
Oh, did you go Dominican Republic?
No, I went China because I don't know where shirts come from. And yeah.
You don't just read the label?
If you had to design a game that played to all of my weaknesses, Tradle would 100% be that game.
Oh, so like the time when I got, I think it was like Liechtenstein or something, where I was like, oh, it's a small amount of exports, but one of them is gas turbines, so it has to be a fairly advanced country, like first world, probably Europe, but small. Got it in one.
Ooh, fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah, I've got fortune cookies to eat, but they're across the room.
Oh, but I want to know what your fortune is. If you're on all the right, podcast.
Let me go check.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Okay.
All right, so I got two fortune cookies, which I think is a subtle dig at me.
Oh, that always happens to Kara and I, no matter how much food we order. It's either like they'll give us one and we're like, what? Or it'll be like 10.
Yeah, the last time we literally genuinely got six fortune cookies. We're like, we didn't order that much food.
You are, oh gosh, oh no. You are soon going to change your present line of work. It's horrible.
What's the other one?
I'm working on it. It's doing good with what you've got that lights the morning star.
Huh. It's the most
more
interesting
like a
one.
Proverb.
Yeah. The morning star, do they mean the sun?
They mean Venus.
Oh.
Jeez, Charlie.
I'm still waiting on the fortune cookie I've always wanted.
Stick with your wife?
No. You will die terrible death.
He's dragging some metal thing around outside.
Neighbor's dog?
No, I think it might be the people across the street who work out with, like, tires.
Oh.
What?
Not some psycho dragging a machete across the ground?
It's not quite consistent enough for that.
Okay.
Just dragging it on the concrete. You step outside to see what the noise is, and they stop and just point it at you and stand there motionless.
Would you legally be allowed to carry a machete, like scraping it on the floor of your own property and pointing it at people, or would that violate some law or another?
I suspect that counts as brandishing.
Yeah, pointing, I think, is the
what
key
if you
there.
Point, like, not at them, but you're still staring at them, just kind of gesturing.
Like drawing it across your own throat.
Yeah. Not exactly what I was thinking, but like maybe as if you were cross-eyed and it seemed like maybe you were trying to point at them, but you're pointing like 5 feet to the left of them.
This is like that joke in the first episode of Family Guy. I felt like everyone's eyes are on me, except for the one guy who's with the lazy eye. He was looking at me and the snack machine.
But I mean, there's like the being arrested and the what are they going to say in court when you explain it to them? No, I was pointing somewhere completely different. It's completely non-threatening.
I was just enacting my favorite movie, Machete.
That movie was just a guy dragging a machete on the ground around his house for 5 hours, wasn't it?
Gesturing wildly at passersby.
So I have another in our long...
Another meat-flavored Dorito?
No, I'm glad I don't have any more Doritos.
You have plenty of Doritos.
I'm glad. You're right. I'm sad that I have plenty of Doritos.
Are you going to put them in a milkshake?
Ew.
So yes?
No.
I didn't buy it, but they do have the Blazing Buffalo and Ranch flavor back.
Hmm.
Is that the blue bag?
Yeah, it's the blue bag. Like light blue.
Yeah.
I've had them before. It's fine.
Anyway, Charlie, what do you have?
Oh, yeah. I have another installment of our series, Charlie Deals with Crap Happening at His House. And this one was for the upstairs shower.
Can we call it the money pit?
Yes. That's a great one. The upstairs shower, it has one of those knobs where you have to push it in or pull it out and turn it in order to, you know, change the temperature of the water and turn the shower on and off. It's just a shower. It doesn't have a faucet for a tub. Well, eventually you couldn't turn it off. Like the cartridge on the inside had broken to the point where you had to press super duper hard to actually force it in. So I was like, okay, I got to fix this. I got it. I took it apart, and the cartridge on the inside basically like sealed itself into the hole that it was in. Like you couldn't pull it out. Yeah.
Like it was like an interference fit. Like it had cold welded itself. Yes, almost.
Yes, it cold welded itself almost. Yes. So I was, you know, thought this was only going to take a couple of minutes because I had the cartridge that I needed, and I attempted to pull it out, and it took about an hour and a half because I didn't want to call a plumber. I was like, there's no way I'm calling a plumber to do this. I know what the problem is. I just need to get this out.
Do you own a torch?
No, I don't own a torch. Well, I own a car has like a kitchen torch. So I guess that could have worked.
You're making creme brulee in the bathroom?
If you know of a better way to make creme brulee, I'd like to hear it.
So I got two of those little tools you use to open paint cans, and I jammed them in there. And like using all my force, like I twisted around and...
You know pliers exist, right?
No, I couldn't grab onto it with pliers. I tried that was what I was trying for like the first hour and a half to do. And I eventually got, I was able to twist it out and get like this rind of a cartridge out. And I was like, fantastic. And so I cleaned it out. I put the new one in. I sealed everything back up. I went and turned the water back on, went up there and I turned it on and nothing comes out of the shower head. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I must have put it in backwards or something. I mean, that doesn't really make sense. So I was like, all right, well, I take it apart again. I take off the retaining clip, and it's the cartridge starts to push out of the wall. And I was like, oh.
Did you turn the water off?
I forgot to go and turn the water back on.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, huh. And so I push it back in, and it pops out. And I start putting as much force as I possibly can on it. And this is like 11:30 at night at this point. And I yelled to Kara.
So this is why you have no mental powers to go, wait a minute.
Yes. All right. And so I yelled to Kara, like, quick, you got to come here. And she comes there. And I'm like, you have to go downstairs and turn off the water. And the thing is like, I've been doing all, anytime the water has to be turned off, I'm the one who did it. So she didn't know where the valve was. And I was like, okay, let me try to explain this. And like 5 seconds later, the cartridge pops out and like hits me in the chest and just water starts streaming out. Now, luckily, it's like a, you know, it's a shower stall. So hopefully things aren't going to get too bad. And so I start running down the stairs and I get about halfway down and I roll my foot. It's like horrible. Like as I jump down to a landing, basically.
Dude.
It hurts. I go down, I turn off the water, I go back up, I put it back together, and then I think for a second, oh no. And so I undo the shower head, and it was just, you know, grit had gotten in there and blocked it because I'd been dealing with it, and that's why no water was coming out of it. So I just cleared out the filter, put it back in. Shower works perfectly. Great. Like, my foot hurts a little bit, though. I went to bed, and I woke up.
Did you use ibuprofen?
Use some ibuprofen. I put some ice on it.
When before. You went to bed?
Yeah, when I went to bed, I did that. And woke up and I was like, wow, still really hurts a lot. Well, let me go to work. I went downstairs and I was like, my shoe doesn't really fit anymore.
Oh, my
God. Oh, no.
I went to work. I had to take off my shoe to walk.
Is this your story of how you got gangrene?
Not yet. I go in, I have to be at work because I had to warm up early in the morning. There's no way to get anybody to get in the cover for me at that late notice. I'm hobbling around and I work with doctors. So I talked with the physicians and I was like, I don't know. It kind of maybe feels like I strained it. I've strained my ankle before and it's like kind of like the side of my foot. And they saw me moving around. They're like, you need to go get an x-ray. And I was like, okay, take the rest of the day off. And yep, that's how I broke my foot.
Oh, you broke God.
It. It's broken. Oh, yeah.
Full break or a fracture?
Fracture.
What
it's
what
like,
bone?
It's my fifth metatarsal.
Oh, okay. So
it's like...
One of the long fingery-like bones, not...
Yeah.
Not one of the wrist equivalents.
Yeah, right below the little toe, like where it connects in there.
So was the swelling just like fluid collecting or...
Yeah, but I mean, it's just... swole up that much. It like swells up a lot like immediately. And then some of that subsided. But yeah, it's just inflammation.
Okay.
And that was the problem. And then they gave me a boot And I was like, I can't wear this either. And so, like, I just took the boot off and I was like, oh, this is, like, I could walk barefoot everywhere. It was fine because you can redistribute your weight properly. But as soon as you put a shoe on, then it all is straight on the floor.
Nothing as a patient would make me feel more confident in my treatment than in Charlie hobbling in and putting on a shoe.
I did not do that at work. I was always had a shoe on or the boot on at work.
Sandals, Charlie.
Sandals didn't work either, but anyway.
Yeah, if you walk around like that, you're going to jack up the rest of your body because you're compensating and then your body's not used to that strain.
Yep. So that was like 6 weeks ago, and it's feeling a lot better now.
Oh, wait, huh. That was about when my health troubles started.
Are you saying it's related, or? I mean, that may have been one of the reasons I didn't bring it up, but also, this is the first non-movie episode of the podcast we've had since that happened.
Well, that's only like, what, 3 episodes?
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, the first day I think we did an episode, and I was like, I don't want to tell people about it because, like, we have to get through this episode. And then I was like, I'm just going to tell them the next time we do a podcast. And I was like, huh, well, here we are.
Is that the first time you'd broken something?
Absolutely, yes. So that's how I feel about it. It's like, I feel pretty lucky, you know, 41 years old, and it's the first time that it happened. But, yeah, it's weird, too, because, like, I rolled it. And I've done that before and, like, sprained my ankle. But I guess it just everything pulled in such a way that it actually fractured it. And
you don't think it's because you landed on the landing just right?
It could have been. Like, I really don't know because the adrenaline was going at the time. And so I just finished up the work that I had to do and had to, like, reconstruct my memory after the fact. But
doing home repairs on pure adrenaline.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so on the follow-up visit, they took an x-ray again, and I actually got to see it because I just saw it on the screen, and it looks bad. Cool. It looks really bad, and I was like, am I going to have surgery for that? And they're like, nah. I'm like, all right. I guess I have no concept of what looks bad enough for something, like, for a larger intervention and what doesn't.
Yeah, you just have a club foot for the rest of your life.
Yeah, could be. But Adam, you're absolutely right. Like, I have redistributed my weight for a long enough period of time that my body won't let me walk on it normally. Like, they didn't suggest PT, and so I don't think I need it, but I have to consciously try to walk normally so that because, like, my foot just kind of hurts all the time. Not, like, even the broken part of it, but all of my other muscles trying to compensate to not put weight off.
They sure do, big guy.
Yep.
Jeez. All this because you didn't want to put a boot on.
Well, the boot was worse, like, because it just redistributed all the way right to the
wheelie thing. You just wheel around.
I thought they were supposed to cut out the part of it that's where the injured part of your foot is.
Oh, so that it goes straight through, like there's a hole on the bottom of it?
That it doesn't actually bear any weight on the broken toe, I thought.
Am I remembering
this wrong?
It's like I can at some point send you a picture of it, but it's just like there's Velcro on the front and over the foot. Otherwise, it's like open. So you close those parts up.
His health insurance doesn't cover the actual treatment. they put a fancy sock on it and said, yeah, you'll be fine.
Walk it off or don't walk it off. You know what I mean?
Crawl it off.
What we're saying is get out of here.
Please let the door hit you on the way out.
And the x-ray tech did say to me, well, yeah, I'm not usually supposed to say anything, but usually we come in here and you can kind of like barely see anything or it's hard to read. And it's pretty obvious for you. I'm like, thanks.
Your osteoporosis has really accentuated the break here.
That was the first PCP appointment I could get. It's supposed to be 2 weeks, but I got 4 weeks. And I was like, wow, I must have like done something horrible and made it worse. Because the first note made it seem like, oh, it was just kind of like a small fracture. But luckily, in the follow-up note, they said, yep, it looks exactly the same as it looked before. I was like, oh.
Okay. No healing has happened.
Except they said there is beginning signs of healing.
This is what a normal x-ray looks like. see the nice little bone here? This is what your x-ray looks like. See how it just looks like gravel?
They also in the note made sure to say that I was a pleasant and well-nourished individual. Who do you normally see come in here? I mean, this is Wisconsin, so I'm like...
I haven't seen you in a while. Are you what you would describe as well-nourished?
Like, not for Wisconsin, for sure.
6 weeks.
That's true. But no.
Bloated up like a his foot.
Did you do something?
Whole body.
Did you do something to wrong them, or they just wanted to upset you?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, they know that you get to see those now. I
they do.
It's revenge. He has a reputation he just doesn't know about.
Anyway, I am to the point they said that at 6 weeks, which is tomorrow, I can start trying to walk quickly. It's like, when can I start running again? Like, start by walking quickly. So we'll see.
When can I start running again?
Well, no, not like, oh, I want to do it now, but like, be honest with me about when I can do this safely.
The doctor just holds up one of those carbon fiber, what is it, Oscar Pistorius?
Oh, but the blades. Oh, man, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, there are options.
I always see those and I'm like, that must be super easy to run with those. They look like springs. Like, oh, that's probably not true.
I mean, partly it's true, except for the whole, you actually have a bunch of muscles in your legs that you can't use.
Right, right.
This just reminds me of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force intro, where Dr. Weird is taking a chainsaw to his own legs, yelling, I need to lose another 15 pounds before lunch, or I'll never be pretty.
For the first couple of weeks, whenever I would try to get up and like deal with the kids or like not chase them around, like to keep Connor from doing something he wasn't supposed to do, Cara would be like, no, get back on the couch, because she's like, I do not want to deal with this any longer than I have to. I'm like, that's fair.
Purchases you a Nerf gun to use to discipline the children.
Oh, Connor would like that.
Him with it. I said, sit down.
Yeah, my son definitely laughs when we tell him no. He thinks it's hilarious.
How old is he now?
He's almost two. He's got another month and a half. So he, yeah, you have to physically block him from things, and then he'll get upset and understand that he's not supposed to do it. But
so the son is like the father.
And that's all. That's been my life.
I'm going to the hospital tomorrow.
Is that for your biopsy?
Yep.
Yeah.
On the plus side, I hope, I'm barely coughing up any blood at all.
Oh, hey. That's great. Yeah.
And I feel a lot better.
Oh, well, that's good.
Is that because you stopped drinking caffeine?
Well, stopping caffeine is what started this whole thing.
Just your body leveling out.
Now, will they take any imaging again? Well, I guess do a biopsy, they'd have to take imaging anyway. So,
yeah, they said something about
they just reach in there.
They were doing fluoroscopy during the biopsy.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So they could see if it like suddenly disappeared or got a lot smaller, and maybe be like, oh yeah, that's got to be fungus or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I assume that's just to guide where their instrument is inside my lungs.
Yeah.
Do you know how they're getting in? Are they going through your chest? Are they going through your bronchi?
They're going through my big face hole.
The old face hole. Okay, that's
good. Yeah. I assume. Yeah. It's definitely through the face hole.
Face hole. Okay.
Yeah, because one of the that'd be a really weird way to go to get to.
I mean,
my
you'd get there eventually. Just poke out through the esophagus once.
Then you'd have to do a 180.
You'd have to do a 180 to get back out.
Well, because you got
to
go
get
up
from
and then
the esophagus to the trachea.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was thinking of just stabbing straight out of the mediastinum. I wasn't gonna go that far. I mean, you've got a couple miles of intestine to get through, or whatever the hell it is. We don't have all day.
Yeah, and I always think I know what the answer will be, but sometimes in healthcare you're surprised. Is this like a general anesthesia then, or is okay?
I asked if they could do it with less, and the doctor said no.
All right. Okay.
Because they're taking a biopsy when they actually do the snipping, if I'm at all conscious, I'll spasm and cough and things will go poorly.
Okay. And then I think this kind of goes without saying, like, we don't have to leave any of this in the podcast if you don't want. We're just
to
know what's going on with you.
Yeah. I will say this. If they kill me, I want you to, you've got a choice. You can either protest outside the hospital with, you know, big signs that say murderers and stuff for at least a few hours, or you can haunt them. You know, basically make them think that they're being haunted by my angry ghost.
Is there a third option where I just feel sad and do nothing?
No.
I like the protesting for a few hours. It's not a big commitment, and I can be kind of generic with my sign, it sounds like. I could get on board with that.
I'm thinking dripping red paint on white, all caps, murderers.
If someone asks me why I am accusing them of being murderers, do I need to explain in more detail, or can it just be just kind of, yep, you're murderers?
You should explain.
Okay, fair.
Deal gets worse all the time.
Well, I mean, otherwise they'll think that you're just pro-lifers. I mean, which you are, but not in that kind of way.
I was thinking vaxxers or anti-vaxxers, depending on who stops to ask me.
Can I also have a sign that says decertify 2020? And then when they ask, I just say they're unrelated signs.
Yes.
There is a guy who still has a decertified 2020 sign out on the local freeway, like every Saturday morning on one of the overpass bridges, waving a big American flag.
There's a crew of Trump supporters that meet in this corner lot. It just looks like a random parking lot in the middle of nowhere on my ride home. I think it's every Wednesday, Thursday. I don't remember. But yeah, they've been Trump 2020-ing since 2020, I would assume. I assume they're updating their signs now that he's the nominee.
Adam, let's turn this around and talk about
something that won't make you cut.
Yeah. How are you? Adam,
you
were in the Music Man recently, weren't you?
I was. It just closed this past weekend as we record.
How did you like it? Was it fun?
Parts of it were fine.
Only parts? Did you split your pants or something? Again?
Who did you play?
I played Charlie Cowell, the anvil salesman and the real hero of the tale.
Which I agree.
Is to say, the antagonist.
Hey man, protagonist doesn't mean hero.
That's right. The only honest person there.
Yep.
So depending on how much you remember The Music Man, basically the main character, the protagonist, Harold Hill, is a con man who tries to sell people band instruments and uniforms and music books. And then his plan is to leave town with the money before he has to teach any of them how to actually play it, because he has no idea how music works, basically. So he goes around this town conning people out. And then I show up, Charlie Cowell, to say, hey, this guy's a con man who's stealing your money. And somehow I'm the villain.
Well, it's because you're bald.
And because I'm being real sleazy, too. But like, I don't think that helps either. Hitting on the main female character and going like, hey, girly girl. And just someone afterwards told me, like, well, you really mastered the ick factor. I was like, thanks.
Can you give us a demonstration right now?
Sure. it's been 3 days and I've already forgotten the lines. just passing through number 8 only makes a 15-minute water stop, but sure wish it was 20. Would like to concentrate 5 minutes on you, girly girl. So a lot of that.
Okay.
Thank you for yucking, Charlie. No, so that part was fine. I got a kiss. I got punched on stage. Well, stage punched, which is not to say I actually got punched, but, you know, made it look like I did. Got
and
to give
got
speeches.
To do a pratfall from the punch, right?
Yep, got to do a pratfall. That was a lot of fun. No, the worst part was because I and Brianne mutually agreed that I should not shave my head. It was a plot point in The Music Man that Charlie Cowell is bald. Because part of the reason he hates Harold Hill is because he went to a town after Harold Hill and they tarred and feathered him. And as a result of that, he now has alopecia or something like that. So,
I'm sorry, why did he get tarred and feathered?
Because they were angry at all salesmen after they'd been conned over, so they weren't even going to listen. Also was 1912, I guess.
Fair.
So anyway, my character needed to be bald. I did not want to shave my head. So a compromise was reached wherein I wore a bald cap. And at this point, I give a big shout out to my friend Jerry Maggio, who helped me put this bald cap on for every performance, which was 2 to 2.5 hours of sitting there while adhesive was applied to my skin. The bald cap was glued down and then reapplied to just kind of like get it as smooth and tight as possible. It was a long, laborious process, and it was not the most fun I've ever had. It's also weird wearing a bald cap because it just feels like you're wearing a hat all the time, which means you have to double check for the scenes when you're supposed to be wearing a hat versus when you're not supposed to be wearing a hat. See if you're wearing a hat because you can't feel it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The part where he reveals that he was tarred and feathered and rode out of town on a rail, he doffs his cap as he says that line, doesn't he?
Yep, to show everyone that he is, in fact, very bald, which fortunately happens in, like, the first scene. So it's before the makeup has a chance to get ruined. So after that, I can wear a hat for the most part. But, yeah, there were days when I had to do 2 shows in a row on the same day. So rather than take the cap off between shows and reapply, we would just touch up what was there, you know, stretch it back down and stuff like that. But that meant that it got really gross under there by the end of the second show.
Mm.
When I took it off, the bald cap at the end of that, the people in the dressing room with me were like, wow, it looks like you just stepped out of a pool. Oh. Like, that's how wet my hair was.
So you're saying the bald cap doesn't breathe?
No, it is latex covered in makeup. It does not breathe except in the little spots where you don't seal it with liquid latex. And that's where the water, the sweat runs out.
Oh,
like on the last day of performances. So usually my thing was I'd wake up, I'd shave like my sideburns in the back of my neck so that there wasn't any little fine baby hairs there to get caught up in the glue. I would then get like hair gel and slick my hair down and back so that, you know, it was not poofy and out of the way. So on the last day, I took the bald cap off, and once again, it looked like I'd stepped out of the pool, like literally dripping and completely soaked. Grabbed a couple towels and just like patted up my head so it would be like, you know, absorb some of that. And then, you know, doing my thing, getting everything packed together, whatever. Driving home, unconsciously run my hand through my hair, and then realize, wait a minute, there's no more hair gel in my hair. It had all run out with the sweat. So yeah, it was a great time.
So what I'm hearing here is that I may have actually gone with the right choice to just bick my head when I played Charlie Cowell, Anvil Salesman, back in high school.
Possibly. I mean, definitely pros and cons to both approaches. But
wait, what were the cons of the... Oh, right. I'd wear a wig for the scenes where I was a chorus member.
Oh, I did not wear a wig for that. But I did have a very big bushy mustache to make myself distinct. And then the one line that the director gave me, I did in a very thick Russian accent.
Nice.
So it was... We don't want any more school exercises until we get this pool table matter settled. People who knew me in the audience, I could just see them burst laughing because they were like, what the hell is this? Random Russian dude in 1912 Iowa? Okay. But yeah, it was a good time. And now I have experience with a bald cap, and I have newfound respect for people who do that regularly. Like, I don't know how cosplayers do it, honestly. I wanted to tear that thing off my head after, like, hour two. I don't know how someone at, like, Comic-Con does it.
I just think of all those Star Trek behind-the-scenes things, because they got all of the crazy alien makeup. And it's just like, yeah, that seems intense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the Music Man story. But we did get a lot of compliments. We definitely had multiple people come up to me afterwards and be like, oh, it's a bald cap. So clearly it read well on the stage.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but you sent a photo of it, and I looked at the photo and I was like, I'm sure this looks good from a distance.
That photo was also before we had figured out the right way to do the makeup. So
okay.
So it actually got better as it went.
Okay. You didn't just have this line where your skin tone just changes in a ragged fashion.
Yeah, we worked on it quite a bit.
Okay.
By the end of the show, we knew what we were doing, more or less. Probably ruined a shirt with all the makeup on the collar, but oh well.
Was it your shirt?
In that I went to a Goodwill and bought it, but then I charged them, so I guess no, not my shirt.
You made them pay you back the $2 for the shirt?
Hey, it was $9.
Ooh, big spender.
That's right.
It's pretty expensive for Goodwill.
Goodwill's lately, price has been going up on a lot of stuff.
Oh, I haven't been in years.
It's just this economy, man, I guess. And that's why I'm voting for Ron Paul.
Is he even running?
Is he even alive?
That's a good question. Is he?
No.
Wait, he's dead?
I mean, he was really old whenever he ran. Was that 2012,
I think?
Yeah, that would have been my guess. He's 88 years young. Seem to still be alive.
Okay. I was going to say, I felt like I would have noticed if he had died.
Jason Kane today told me that Joe Lieberman died so fast that Wikipedia hadn't been updated yet.
You sent me a text telling me about it, and I Googled it and clicked on the news tab, and there was literally one result that was relevant. It was a Washington Post obituary from 2 minutes prior.
Yeah.
No one else had the news.
That was after I had looked for it for 4 minutes and then texted Jason, are you sure about this? No one is reporting this.
Man, Jason went to you first instead of going to Wikipedia. That's friendship.
That's true, yeah.
Man, can you imagine assassinating someone and then updating the Wikipedia and that's how the cops catch you?
Well, now I can.
You're like submitting a selfie to the talk page. I don't know if that's a thing you can do, but if it is.
Think you can?
Like, no, here's the evidence right here. I am in the book depository right now.
Does anyone have anything else?
Nope.
Pray for my continued survival, please, if you're religious.
We already talked about that.
Yeah, but I didn't mention the please pray for my continued survival part. I just mentioned the retribution in case it doesn't go the right way.
In order of importance.
In order of importance.
Pray for Mojo. Well, that probably about wraps it up for this edition of the Gobesky Wallace Report. I'm Adam Gobesky.
And I'm Charlie Wallace. A special thanks to our two, what do we call them, sparkly guests?
Glitterati.
Okay. Glitterati guests. We've got Kevin Vredevoog.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And Doug Gobesky.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Make sure to check out GobeskyWallaceReport.com.
We've got lots of exciting opportunities for you to entertain yourself there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about job opportunities.
The job opportunities we have don't pay, so they're really more of unpaid internships. And you can follow us on Twitter, @GWReport, and you can like us on Facebook. So if you're looking for an internship, talk to Charlie.
An unpaid internship that gives no letter of recommendation. Just the satisfaction of a job well done.
But you can stay at Charlie's house.
All right.
Well, best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. Avenge my death, as with.
Yeah.
Man, having friends is tough. Avenging death is a lot of work.
So much death avenge.
I'm not going to avenge two deaths.